Take your Bibles tonight and open up to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, I'm going to keep things a little shorter tonight because of our time of fellowship in the back, but I do want us to take a look at Psalm 39 tonight. We looked at one of the Selahs this morning, and we're leaving the other one for tonight. So if you will, you got Psalm 39, if you would please stand with me, and let's read verses 1 through 5 responsively. And I'll read verse 1, and you read verse 2. We'll read responsively to verse 5. When we come to verse 5, we're going to read that all together in unison. All right? So, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake I with my tongue. And all of us together, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, as we look at this psalm and we look at a couple of verses here, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we might see the truths that this psalm is trying to present to us, that we would take it to heart and apply it to our lives. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Tonight, verses 4 and 5 are the focus of what the message is about and what the Selah is about. I doubt that there is a child or a teenager in this room that's given much thought to the end of life. They figure that they have got another, at least 50, 60, 70 years, and that sounds like so much, doesn't it? Now, not many 20 or 30-somethings have given it much thought either. They're too busy with college, too busy with careers, too busy with starting families and all that kind of stuff, earning a living. Besides, they believe that they still have plenty of time. When you start hitting the 50 to 60 mark, you probably start thinking about at least a little bit, maybe not quite as much, but you still are thinking about a lot more than you used to. And for those that are in the 70, 80, 90 mark, well, I don't know what you're thinking about, but I would have to guess that you're thinking about it a whole lot more than you did when you was a teenager, if you can remember back that far. As I look at the message tonight, realistically, I figure that I'm at the stage of life where there is more behind me than there is ahead of me. I don't anticipate, outside of an incredible miracle, that I would make it to 114. That would be doubling my age where I'm at right now. I don't think I'm going to make 114. So that means there is more behind than there is ahead. And realistically, longevity is not in my family tree anyways. Both of my parents pass away in their early 70s. Grandma's the only one that made it into her 80s. Everybody else is checked out pretty early. So I'm just looking at the family tree, and it's a little droopy, you know. So everybody's trees are different, you know. You just don't know how it's all going to pan out, but God does. As we look at these two verses tonight, the first thing that we look at is a description of our lives. And it is a bit gloomy. So if you can hold on and get through this point, we'll bring it up positive for the last point, okay? But as you look at this, first of all, the Bible tells us three things about our lives in verses 4 and 5. First of all, the Bible tells us that our lives are frail. Our lives are frail. Our bodies are frail. Keep your marker here. Let's go to Psalm 78 and look at verse 39. Psalm 78, verse 39. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Go to Psalm 102, verse 11. My days are like a shadow that declineth. I am withered like grass. One more, 103, verses 14 through 16. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. I could cite many, many more passages, but this is enough to depress us. Some of you tonight, you're too young to realize just how frail that you really are. Don't you just love it when a 20-something says, "Oh, I'm just not as young as I used to be. I feel so old, especially in the mornings when I get up." You just kind of want to look at them and say, "Oh, shut up." They don't have a clue. They have no clue what it is about the frailty of life. But the older you get, don't you realize that you are more frail? You know, you fall. Used to, you fell and you thought nothing of it. Now you fall and you kind of stay there for just a second. Is everything okay? You're just not real sure, but you just want to make sure nothing's broke or anything like that. I remember reading Ecclesiastes chapter 12 a few months after my dad had passed away. And I was really stunned. I was taken aback by some of the verses that are in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that talk about the end of life and how frail that we really are and how things begin to change. And I had seen these things in my dad that surprised me. Like, dad had never had a fear of heights, never. I mean, you remember the chandeliers in the old church? He had no problem going up the ladder to change them things out. It didn't bother him at all. He'd go up on the highest barn, he'd go up on roofs, everything else. He'd climb up ladders and stuff like that. He loved to fly and all that kind of stuff. And the older he got, the more afraid of heights he got. And I'm like, "Oh, come on, Dad. Now, that's crazy. You've always loved this stuff." Well, not anymore. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's what happens when age, the frailty of life, starts to set in. Some big changes happen. Ecclesiastes 12 says this, "Oh, ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. The spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Prior to this is a description of what the golden years look like. And they're not so golden. Whoever came up with that phrase, the golden years? Wouldn't you love to find the source of that one and slap that person? Say, "What were you thinking?" Here's the second thing that the psalmist tells us about our lives. Not only are they frail, but they are fleeting. They are fleeting. Psalm 89, verse 47. Psalm 89, verse 47. And the Bible says in verse 47, Psalm 89, "Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" The book of James tells us that our life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. The CDC says that the life expectancy at the end of 2023, this is the average life expectancy, was 77 and a half years old. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are the clock's really ticking? You know, 77 and a half, according to the CDC. Now, the CDC doesn't hold our days in their hands, right? We know that it is God that holds our days. We have no idea what the number of our days are. But what we do know is that our days are short and they are fleeting. They go by so quick. And it's amazing to see how fast time flies the older you get. When you're young, you just can't grow up fast enough, can you? And you're just chomping at the bit because you got so many desires and ambitions and dreams and all this energy that's got to just burst out of you. You can hardly wait to do these things. And then you get older. And it's like, first of all, where did 2024 go? This year, we are coming down to the wire on this year. How'd that happen? Everything. The older you get, about the only thing that goes faster are the days. Everything else slows down except for how fast time flies. Our lives are fleeting. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. Look at this one. "The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength They be fourscore years, yet is their strength and strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So our lives are frail, our lives are fleeting, our lives are finite. In the earthly sense, we are all mortals. It is appointed unto men once to die. Now, this is pretty depressing, really, when you just, it'd be a terrible spot to end the message, wouldn't it? Say, well, let's pray, y'all, and we'll see you next time. That's not a good place to leave the message, but these are definitely truths. And they are truths that we need to come to tonight. And these are the truths that the Lord said, Selah, think about that. I don't care what your age is. Think about how quickly life goes, how frail life is, and how finite life is. Young people die as well as old people, and everybody in between. I am not trying to be morbid. I am not trying to scare anybody. It's just a fact. And the Lord said, it's appointed unto men once to die. He just didn't say when. So that brings us to the second point tonight. Let's consider the direction of our lives. If we are supposed to stop and consider the end of our lives, consider the shortness, consider all these things, then we need to get some direction for our lives so that we don't squander what God has given us. So the first thing that we see here, you're in Psalm 90, look at verse 12. The Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So the first thing tonight, there is wisdom to be applied. When we recognize how short our lives are, when we recognize how frail, when we recognize how finite that our lives are, we should take that knowledge and apply ourselves to wisdom. Knowledge says, I know I'm going to die someday. Wisdom says, I don't know when that day will come, so I'd better get ready. I'd better get ready. Tonight I ask you, are you ready to die? Again, you say, you're getting depressing again, preacher. I didn't mean tonight, but it could happen. I didn't say, let's all jump on the next bus or run out in front of the next bus. I didn't say that. I said, are we ready? Should that time come and should the Lord call us, are we ready? You say, well, how can I be ready? The book of Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. Do you realize everybody gets to meet God someday? Everybody. You say, I don't believe in God. That's going to change. That's going to change real quick. The atheist is going to have no problem one day saying, oh, I was wrong. There is a God. Oh, yeah. Yes, there is. But see, you either meet God as your judge, jury, and executioner, or you meet God as your Savior and Lord. Are you ready if this was to be the day of death? Where would you be in a split second? From the moment you breathe that last breath of life and life ebbs out of your body instantly and you're in eternity, where would you be? You're going to be in one place or the other. You're going to be in heaven or hell. And you say, well, I think, whoa, that's a bad thing to say. I think. This isn't something to think. This is something to know. Amen. And to know confidently. And tonight you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to die, that you would be in heaven. You can know beyond any shadow of a doubt. But let me tell you something also. Without Jesus Christ as Savior, you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're going to split hell wide open. You can know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. You say, how can I know that? The Bible tells you. Go with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 36. And it doesn't get any plainer than this. John 3:36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That wrath of God will abide on that lost person for eternity. Just like the joys and the blessings of salvation will abide on the believer for all of eternity. Tonight, where would you be? Have you applied your heart and your mind to wisdom, the wisdom of God's Word, knowing for certain where you would be? Now, once we know Christ as Savior, wisdom should be exercised in every other area of our life, right? So we've got too much time that is wasted fooling around with stuff that doesn't matter, when we could be applying our hearts to God's wisdom. You say, well, how do I know if it's God's wisdom? Read your Bible. God will tell you. He'll show you. That which belongs to the Lord is wise. Those who are participating with the Lord in His work and in His ministry and His mission are wise. Those who will take God's word and apply it to their lives and obey it and live it, that's wise. So how wise are we tonight, Christian? Are we realizing, hey, I don't want to waste any of God's time? This is, folks, we're not on our time. This is God's time. Our lives, we didn't wind the little key in our backs to get us going. God did that. He's the one that put us in motion. He's the one that puts breath in our lungs. He's the one that gives us life. It's His life that we're supposed to be living. So have we lived it wisely? Here's the second thing. Go to Psalm 71. Not only is there wisdom to be gained, there's witnessing to be done. Psalm 71, verse 17. Psalm 71, verse 17. And the Bible says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. There's witnessing to be done. Some of you are in your retirement years. What are you doing with those years? How are you spending them? Are you wasting them or investing them? There's witnessing to be done. And retiree, you got all the time in the world. I mean, you're not tied down to a job that you have to be at. You're not having to set the clock to get up in the morning, to get out the door at a particular time, to get to work, to be stuck there for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, to come home, to have all the chores that you got to do, to get to bed so you can get up and repeat that. You got some leisure. Now, I'm not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that's all you got, because I know a lot of our retirees, you work harder in retirement than you did in work, and you want to go back to work so you could retire. But what are you doing with these hours that the Lord's given you? Are we using it to witness? For all of us, we don't know how much time has been given. There's witnessing to be done. There's plenty of people in this world that don't know about Jesus. Plenty of people that have never heard from our lips how they can be saved. There's witnessing to be done. The last thing, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. There's other work to be accomplished. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Hey, you're heading to the grave. That's where we're all headed. We are headed to Schiffler, Fountain Grove, and I'm talking in a physical, earthly sense. We're headed to that grave. But right now, while we're in the journey, whatever our hand finds to do, let's do it. There's work to be done. We've got all of eternity. Well, I can't even say that we've got all eternity to catch up on our sleep. We ain't going to need it. Isn't that great? You say, oh, come on. Well, I don't see anything in Scripture that teaches that we're even going to need it. But the Bible does describe eternity as God's rest, God's perfect rest. For now, there's work to be done. The book of Ecclesiastes has a lot of neat truths. Back up to chapter 7, the first two verses. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Read that again if you didn't catch it. A good name is better than precious ointment. The day of death, that's better than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that's the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. We don't like to go to funerals, do we? I mean, there's nobody looking at their calendar saying, oh, I wonder if I could squeeze a funeral in this week. We don't enjoy doing that. We go because we have to, because we feel that we should pay our respects to somebody that we knew and to show them that we care about them, that we love them and all that. But the Bible says that's a good place to go. There are some people and they'll say, oh, I would never bring my child to that. Why? It's part of life. It's a part of life. Well, I don't even want to go. Go, it's a part of life. And the Bible says it's a better place to be than a place where there's a party. You know why? Because you learn nothing at the party, but you learn a lot at the funeral. And you come face to face with your own mortality. You come face to face with the finality, the frailty, the fleeting of our days. And you go, oh, that could be me. That could be me. So it kind of jerks us awake a little bit. And a wise heart lays that to heart and says, I don't want to waste any more time. I've wasted enough. I mean, I think we could all be honest and say that we are guilty of wasting time. And we go to those funerals and we say, I don't want to waste anymore. You go to a funeral and you come home wanting to love your spouse and show them your love even more. You go to a funeral and you want to love your kids even more. You go to a funeral and you want to love people even more. And you have a burden for them. You went to that funeral of a lost person and you saw how lost people grieve, and it's sickening. I mean, it makes you physically sick inside to see such hopelessness. And then to have some person get up there and give a message that is pathetic. As a preacher, that makes me angry. And I'm sitting there just seething inside, angry. And I don't know what to do about that. I still remember a funeral service that I went to. It's been a number of years ago, for a kid in our class that died. And the preacher that preached it preached everybody into heaven, and I was furious because there were so many people that were there that I knew were lost, and he preached everybody into heaven. He preached that guy into heaven, and I doubt seriously he was saved. Preached his wife into heaven. I doubt seriously she's saved. Preached everybody in it. We're all going to make that. We're going to get there. Everything inside wanted to jump up and say, you liar. Do you know the gospel? How dare you stand up here and tell these people something like that? Tell them about Christ. Amen. Tell them the gospel. Selah. Let it soak in. Tonight, maybe the Lord is convicting you about how you spend your time, how you spend God's time. And you say, I need to do a better job. I don't know how many years I got left, but I want those years to count for the Lord. I want to be good years spent for Him. As Christians, would we commit to that tonight? But again, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this needs to be the night of salvation. You can't put that off. Your life could come to an end so quickly. And you're here tonight, and we want to open Scripture with you and take you thoroughly through the Bible of the Scriptures that show you how you can be saved, to show you that you are a sinner and there's nothing you can do to save yourself, to show you Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who came on your behalf. He set aside everything in heaven, and He came to this earth. And in 33 and a half years at the end of His ministry, He took our sins upon Himself as He went to Calvary's cross. And He allowed the nails. They didn't have to force Jesus on that cross. I am sure that the Romans were rough with him, made him feel good. But you know what? If they had not laid a hand on him, Jesus would have laid himself down on that cross. He would have stretched his arms out and said, I'm ready. Because that's what he came for. And he was hung on that cross, and as his blood was shed for you and me. And he gave up the ghost, the Bible says. He gave up his life. He was buried in the tomb, but 3 days later, 3 nights later, up from the grave, he arose. And he lives, and he wants to give new life to anyone who will call upon his name to be saved. And I wonder tonight if there's somebody here that says, that's what I want to do. Give us the opportunity to just take you aside and introduce you to Jesus. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these simple verses of Scripture and the reminders of the shortness of life. Father, we pray especially tonight if there's one here without Jesus as Savior, that this would be the night of salvation for them. And we pray tonight, Lord, as believers, that we might take time to inspect our lives and to take an account and to recognize that the clock is ticking. And I just pray, Lord, we would desire tonight to go out just blazing on fire for you. That we would surrender and commit every remaining moment of our life to you to bring honor and glory to your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray it.